Good morning, High Plains.
Morning.
We're glad to see you this morning. Hey, that's great to hear because, you know, I'd hate to have anybody here who wasn't glad to be in the house of God. Okay? No matter what you're going through in life as a Christian, it makes no difference. You need to get in the house of God. You might be asking, why? Because I can guarantee you, he put a guarantee on this, that there's probably somebody in this house that has already gone what you've gone through. That can help you. You know how they're going to help you? Trusting God. Hoping God. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He's always there. And you're going, God, hurry up. Take this whatever's bothering me away from me. He will in his timing because he knows what is best for you. You see, I don't know what's best for you. I wish I would know what's best. No, I don't. But God knows what's best for you. And he will deliver what you need, when you need, right on time when you need it. See, that's our God. That's who we serve. So if you want to know a little bit more about God and the God that you serve, about Jesus Christ, that's who they are. That's what they do. You don't get information months ahead of time. I mean, think about this. How many of you have ever been praying for something? God, whatever it is. And then you add this to the prayer. Give me a sign. Show me, Lord. Right? Or am I the only one that happens to in here, huh? Come on now. I know it's real quiet today. You haven't heard me up here speaking over a month, so you're going, oh, this is different again. Yeah. But I'm telling you, I've been there. I've done that. Lord, show me. Is this really you? My wife and I, when we moved from Texas up to Kansas, I'm not going to go into all the details, but that decision and that move happened really quick. But when it took place, my wife turned to me and she goes, Carrie, is this God? And I turned to her and go, honey, everything we've been praying for and asking for is there. God didn't just crack the door open a little bit. He just done kicked the whole thing in. You could see the other side. We don't need a sign whether we should go or not. He says, you choose. Go through the door or not. That's up to you. I'm showing you. We chose. And that started our great adventure. But I'm going to save that for another day. If you have your Bibles, woo, man, I get so excited. It's not because school's going to be starting here in a couple of weeks. I don't know if we got any former teachers or teachers in the house here, but, oh, those first couple of days of in-service coming back. Snoozeville, aren't they? Yeah. I can see Debbie's just full of excitement. She's going, I get it. But I'm excited about being in the house of God here today. Matthew chapter 12, starting with verse 38. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees said to him, Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. But he, Jesus, answered and said to them, An evil and adulterous generation craves for a sign, and yet no sign will be given to it, but the sign of Jonah, the prophet. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up with this generation at the judgment and will condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here. The Queen of Sheba, or of the south, it is Queen of Sheba, by the way, will rise up with this generation at the judgment and will condemn it because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here. Now, when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds an unoccupied, swept, and put in order. Then it goes and takes along with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself. And they go in and live there. And the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. That is the way it will also be with this evil generation. While he was still speaking to the crowds, behold, his mother and brothers were standing outside, seeking to speak to him. Someone said to him, behold, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, seeking to speak to you. But Jesus answered the one who was telling him and said, who is my mother? And who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand towards his disciples, he said, behold, my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. For your word is true. Your word is just, and your word fails not. It always accomplishes its task that it's sent forth to do. And we send forth your word today to touch the hearts and the lives of the people that are here. Holy Spirit, we ask you, do your job and teach each and every one of us. Teach me. Teach each and every one of us that are here so that we'll continue to grow strong in you and the power of your might. We just thank you, and we praise you, and we glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, you're requesting a sign when you pray. Hey, I've been there. I've done it. And I think most of you have too. Show me something, Lord. Show me something, Holy Spirit. I want to make sure I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Is this the path that you want me to go? Is this the action you want me to do? Is this the job you want me to take? Show me, Lord, because I want to do your will. I don't want to mess up, Lord, right? I mean, I've been there. Show me a sign. Well, here's Jesus talking. He's in Capernaum, talking to the scribes and Pharisees and the elders, you know, all the chief leaders of the church. There, he's talking to them, and they ask Jesus for a sign. What do they need a sign for? What were they wanting a sign for? Let me phrase it that way. Anybody can tell me, because I'm a teacher, for those of you who don't know, so I always ask questions. What were they wanting a sign for? To prove that he was the Son of God. Give us a sign to prove that you're the Son of God. Now, if you've been reading and been going through the book of Matthew with us, you're going, why do they need a sign? Jesus is already, when he was talking to John the Baptist's disciples, he says, the word of God's being preached, the sick are being healed, the lame walk, demons have been cast out. What more of a sign do you need? Really? But sometimes religious people sometimes just need to be dropped on their head. Not literally, figuratively speaking. Okay? I don't want anybody listening online. What? We're supposed to drop them on their head. No, that's not a literal statement. It's a figurative statement. Just like being smacked upside the head. Okay? Just don't literally do that. But he said to them, Jesus said to them, an evil and adulterous generation craves for a sign. And yet no sign will be given it but the sign of Jonah the prophet. You see, why do you want a sign? When I was praying and asking for a sign, why did I want a sign? Well, because I wanted to be sure. And, you know, the Holy Spirit talks to me differently and probably talks to you. But he does literally, well, actually figuratively, hit me upside the head. He says, boom, son, look, I'm doing this, 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 and this. What more do you need? You know what I do? Fall on my knees. Say, Lord, forgive me. You're right. I have to trust in the Lord with all of my heart and lean not unto my own understanding. And I need, and this is what faith is. Faith is not just a nice word. Faith is an action word. To show yourself, to show God, to show others that you have faith in whatever you're doing or talking about, you must be a doer. You got to go out and do it. And that's what the Holy Spirit says. You don't need a sign. You just need to get up off of that ground and get moving, start doing it. Yes, sir. I get up and I start doing it. Do I do it well? Who cares? Do I do it right? Who cares? Why? Because that's the Holy Spirit's job to do it right. Not my job to do it right. What? See, we get all caught up wanting for us to do it right. No, that's the Holy Spirit's job. See, you're here today, and some of you, this is the first time you're hearing me, you're going, oh my goodness, how much longer? I'm ready to get out of here. Hey, it makes no difference how I deliver the message. It makes no difference who and up here is doing the preaching. It can be Pastor Mike, nice, kind, and gentle, very eloquent, or me, loud, obnoxious, waking you up. Roar. It's not me teaching you. It's not Pastor Mike teaching you. It's the Holy Ghost teaching you. That's his job. So he's the one that's going to work on your heart and mind. Well, I wish he wouldn't use you to work on my heart and mind. I understand. I get it. All I could say is, get on your hands and knees and start praying. Start fasting. Lord, fix him. Okay? Believe me, he's working on it. But it says an evil and adulteress. Here, the evil and adulteress means that those scribes and those Pharisees, they weren't, well, I mean, they might have been doing adultery. We don't know physically, literally. But what he's really talking about is their heart and religiously. They weren't committing idolatry. Remember what happened the last time the priests were committing idolatry. They got sent to Babylon for, you know, what, 70 years or whatever, okay? Here, it's adultery. And what they're talking about here is the spiritual prostitution and wanton apostasy of Israel. Israel has an adulterous heart. Okay? They weren't practicing idolatry. I mean, just think about it. People that do adultery, what happens? They might go home to their wife and say, hey, I love you. But the next thing you know, they're out doing whatever, right? They put a front. But that's not what they're doing behind the scenes. It's not what their trust is. And Jesus knows that. That's why he says you want a sign. This is why you crave. I like that word crave. Because all of us have had cravings before, right? I know Elijah has cravings for Takis in my class, okay? He craves that thing. Hey, give me your bag up here. Just munching those things down, okay? But we know what a craving is, and that's what they were craving. But the problem is they had an adulterous heart. They showed a good front, but what they were actually living was a different thing. And so Jesus was pointing this out to him, and he says, the only sign you're going to get is sign of the prophet Jonah. Now, let's talk about Jonah. Hey, I always remember all the Bible school stories about Jonah. Oh, he was running from God, and God threw a storm and cast him off the boat, and a big, well, they say a sea monster here. We don't know. Okay? They didn't have certain language of that day, didn't describe everything. So we'll just call it a whale. Is that okay? Can we live with that? It's large. And as scientists, because I'm a biologist, yes, that's true, except it couldn't have been a baleen whale because he couldn't get in there because they only do krill and stuff. But no, another kind of whale swallowed him up and kept him inside. And I remember the Bible stories. And you might have, if you grew up in Sunday school, you probably remember, oh, when he spit him out. Oh, poor Jonah. He had to have been all white, stinking of fish and seaweed all over him, ragtag, and just dragging his poor little body into Nineveh, right? Or was I the only one that had those Sunday school classes? Come on now. But all the commentators that I've read, and I've read five different commentaries, comment on it, says, no. Jonah didn't go into Nineveh, looked like he got puked out of a whale. He went to Nineveh looking good. Looking like we look now. He might not have liked it, but he did it. You know how that is. Haven't you ever done something for God that you didn't want to do, but you knew you were supposed to do, and you didn't like it? Or your boss tells you, hey, I need you to do this, and you're going, oh, I don't want to do that, I hate that. Whatever job that is, you do it because the boss tells you, but you might not like doing it. And Jonah was the same way. He didn't like, what? You know how those people from Nineveh are? Oh, they're horrible people. Jesus is going, that's why I'm sending you to them. But think about it. He was in there for 3 days and three nights. Puked him up. He went to Nineveh. And what did he do? He's walking around the city. He says, you're going to hell if you don't repent. You better change your ways or you're going to go to hell because God's fixing to destroy this place. You better change. Or did he go, oh, please, people. God said he's going to kill all of you if you don't repent. We don't know what the message was. It was the message of repentance. We don't know how he delivered it. But if Jonah was anything like me, doing something I don't want to do, my wife can guarantee, she can back this up. You can talk to her at the end of the message. Yeah, that's him. He don't want to do it, and I know he doesn't want to do it. Yeah, he does it with a bad attitude. Guess what? That's what Jonah did. You're going to hell if you don't repent. God's going to level this place. You better repent today, or you're going to be no more. God said he's going to take care of you. Message of repentance. Boy, we don't like hearing that, do we? We probably don't like him. He might have smelled like fish. Who knows? I don't like him yelling and screaming and telling me I'm going to go to hell if I don't repent. Oh, forget that. You know what the people of Nineveh did? They could care less about how he sent the message. He didn't care how he looked. They listened to the message and they did what? They repented. Woo. That's why I know, no matter how I deliver it up here, it's up to you on how you want to receive it. Woo! You see, one nice thing is none of you must have my phone number, so none of you text me. All of you text Mike. Here's Mike, first thing Monday morning. Kerry, we need to talk. Yep. So that's why in verse 41 it says the men of Nineveh will stand up with this generation at the judgment and will condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here. Woo! Who would be greater than Jonah that's here? Come on now. Jesus? Yes? Then the queen of the south, which is the queen of Sheba, she came. She said, rise up with this generation of judgment and we'll condemn it. Okay. She's going to condemn it at the rise of judgment because she came to the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Okay. Here she is. She's not Jewish. She comes from afar. I mean, not halfway around the world afar, but we know she wasn't that far away in today's traveling, but in those days it's afar. And having a female travel, I mean, let's face it, guys, we've traveled with females, right? I mean, the kids are bad enough. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Riding with females is, when's the next bathroom break? We just had one. It's when we get gas. What, when are we going to get gas? In 4 hours. No, it won't happen there. Okay? So just think of a whole caravan with the Queen of Sheba, you know, having to stop every, you know, a few miles and having to need a break. Okay? But she traveled from afar for what? So she can listen to and receive the wisdom of Solomon. And then it goes on to does what? She is going to condemn that generation. Because they weren't hearing the wisdom of who? Jesus. Yeah. Give us a sign. What? You think the Queen of Sheba went to Solomon and says, give me a sign that you're a wise person? No. She said, forget that. She went there to listen, to receive, and that's what she got. And she will condemn that generation. But notice one more thing here. It says, something greater than Solomon is here. Who is that something? See, Jesus is greater. Now notice, I like how Matthew put this. He didn't say, Jesus said that he is greater than, did he? Though he implied it, he did not state it. He said something here is greater. That, for those of you who might not understand, is called humility. Pride would say, I'm the greater one. I'm here. But he didn't do that, did he? No, because Jesus was not prideful. That's why he used the term something here is greater. And he didn't even say someone. Notice something. Because it's the action that needs to take place. Verse 43. Now, when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, what? You're thinking, what's going on here? Well, we're just talking about Jonah 3 days in a whale, and now he's going back to a spirit. Well, Pastor Mike last week was talking about Jesus casting out demons. And what did the Jewish leaders go? Oh, but you do it in the name of Beelzebub because you have Beelzebub or the devil inside of you, right? Which we know is crazy. Crazy, you know, but they were trying to prove anything negative about Jesus. So now he's bringing them back to that topic, okay? That's why it's there, just in case you want to know. He's circling back, if you will. And now he says, now when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places. That's why it's translated sometimes as a desert place, as a dry place, because have you ever been a desert? If you've been, you lived in Ault, it's a dry place. A waterless place. Okay. Yeah, not forever, just temporary. We're gonna get back on track here. Okay. And seeking rest. That means when the evil spirit is not in a body, he's seeking rest and can't find it. And it's a dry place or a waterless place. This is also known as the water planet, by the way, because there is no other planet that has all this nice liquid water flowing around. Something to think about later. And then he says, I will return to the house in which I came. And when it comes, he finds it unoccupied, swept, and put in order. Now, this is what I want you to know. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what happened to you inside your heart? Did it get cleaned? Okay, one person said his heart got clean. I don't know about the rest of you. Did your heart get swept out of all the junk in it? Okay, a few more people. Well, this is what happens when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For those of you getting baptized, you might want to get up and go get ready. Okay, yeah. I'll throw my little caveat there. It's right at 10:30. I got 20 more minutes, right? But when you accept Jesus Christ, your heart gets swept, it gets cleaned, and there you are. And you say, okay, it's ready for Jesus to move in, right? And the Holy Spirit moves in, right? But how many people do you know? And unfortunately, I know way too many people who've literally come up here, said, I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. They come and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and in about 3 months, they're back living like the world, and worse than they did before. What? Now, you guys might not have ever experienced that. Being in San Antonio for many, many years, yeah, I've seen it. It's a sad state. Why did that happen? Because they were not being discipled properly. Discipleship. Oh no, there's that bad word that people throw around in church once in a while. Oh, you mean they didn't go through the 12-week discipleship course? No, they weren't there that long, but no, they didn't do it. Oh, by the way, I need to throw this out there to you. Here's the definition of discipleship. And I didn't go to a Christian Bible dictionary or nothing. I went to Google. I pulled up my phone, pulled it up. There's Google, so I hit the microphone. I just said, discipleship. And this is what came up. The lifelong process of learning from who? Jesus, following his teachings and becoming more like him in daily life. I mean, I know it's amen because you think Google would come up with that? Did it say, just go through a 12-week course and you're good to go? It says it's a what? It's a lifelong. So when we talk about discipleship, which is our third leg of our, we love God, love people, and make disciples. That's discipleship. So we're here to make disciples. Everything we tell all of our ministry leaders, everything we do is about making disciples. Our focus is about making disciples. We met with Shay the other day, Pastor and I did, about Sunday school, and she brought that up. Yes, you want us to make disciples with these kids, and we want to make disciples with them. Why? So she's saying the same thing, which is awesome. It is a lifelong process, people. All right? So it's a lifelong process of praying to God, seeking his face. It's a lifelong process of reading his word and being a doer of all the things that you read and hear the Spirit of God tell you to do. It's a lifelong process. You might be going, well, I haven't heard much from the Holy Spirit. Well, maybe you need to spend a little more time in prayer and the word. Because I can guarantee you, I can be driving down the road, and all of a sudden, here comes a scripture verse out of nowhere going through my mind. You think it's just my mind bringing it up? No! It's the Holy Spirit bringing it to my remembrance. I'm going, okay, why? Doesn't take long. Thank you, Jesus. I know why now. Okay? That's the way it works for me. Now, hopefully he works for you. I don't know how he works for you. But you see, this is what discipleship training is all about. This is why I encourage you. You've been through distinctives one. This fall, we're doing distinctives two. And we're going to get deep in the word. Yeah, you're going to be thinking, hey, I'm going back to college again. Yeah, but what do we want? We want you to become strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We want you to know why. The whys that we have. This is answering a bunch of those whys. That's why we want to encourage you to take distinctive seed. Now that's my plug for that. Now, let's get back to this. So the evil spirit comes and takes seven other spirits with him, and the man's state is worse than it was before. I'm telling you, this is why after salvation, we encourage you to get baptized. This is why we encourage you in this church to get into a community group. If you're not in a group, in a community group, pastor's not here. Oh, Jan. Oh, just plug your ears. So you know. Shame on you. Find a community group. Get involved. Why? Because with a group of people, like-minded people, start sharing the scriptures, they start to get strong, and then they go, hey, I don't know. Justice is awesome. I love this man. You ever heard him teach? Yeah, you might want to. Andy, you're going over, hey, he's a great guy. Ever hear him teach? Yeah, my community group, they both get to teach. Michael over here, you ever hear him teach? You're thinking, Michael teach? You know, we just think he's a geeky IT guy. No, the brother knows his stuff, okay? You ever hear him teach? See, that's what community group's about. I get to learn from Michael. I get to learn from Justice. I get to learn from Andy. I get to learn, and everyone else gets to learn. And so I get stronger. I never looked at it that way. And I can always count on Leslie. She'll question things a certain way. I'm going, you know what? Yeah, I love her. I love everyone in my community group. Now, I'm not asking for any of you to join it, mine, but I'm asking you, if you're not involved in a community group, you need to clear your schedule to be in a community group. So you can continue to grow strong in the Lord with like-minded people. They're there to support you. Because I know my wife goes, oh, Cheryl just text. Andy's not feeling good. Let's pray for him. All right, boom. What are we doing? We're praying for him. Right then and there. That doesn't happen an awful lot in churches. But it happens in this church. This is why we do it. Okay? Why? Because we want your heart not just to be swept clean and ready for Jesus and the Holy Spirit. We want your heart loaded with the Word of God. With the love of God, with the love of the saints, all into your heart, filled up, overflowing. That's what we want. Because now you become stronger. I can tell you, depression, nah. You're going to have so much word in you, depression, anxiety, all those negative things that the devil wants to throw on you. Forget it. You got too much word in you because the Holy Spirit's going to start bringing it up and you can't get depressed. You're an overcomer by Christ Jesus, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Yes. Woo, how can you be depressed with that? Knowing you're an overcomer. Because Jesus lives inside of you. And all of the victories from day to day that you have, trusting in God, doing it his way. You go, man, look at all these victories I get to lean on. Oh my goodness, what do I get to be depressed about? What do I have to do to be anxious about? What? Nothing. Because my hope, my confidence, my cares are on Christ Jesus. Woo. Man. Pastor's not going to let me preach again. I don't think so. Okay, I got about 2 minutes to wrap this up. I told brother, You haven't heard me in a month preach. Now you're shortening me down. Oh, praise Jesus. Hallelujah. But the Holy Spirit's doing a great job. Now, Jesus' mother and brothers showed up. Now, it says that they were outside. You see that word outside in there? Well, I'm going to tell you. If Jesus is outside with his disciples all around him and then the crowd all around him, would not his mother and brothers be outside of the crowd? Yeah, it's not outside of a building. No, it was outside of the crowd. And Jesus goes, who's my mother? Who's my brothers? Those that do the will of my Father. That's why we come into the house of God. I say, hey, brother, it's great to see you. Why? Because you're my brother. You do the will of my Father, don't you? Yes. You do the will of my Father? Yes. Now, that doesn't mean we do it well. That just means we have a heart to do it and we want to do it. Right? I go to Shane, boy, I get excited and I know he's only going to be here every other Sunday, but when he's here, I'm like, yes, he's here, praise God, because he's my brother. I get excited when my brother comes to the house of the Lord. You see, my aunt passed away in June, cancer. Three times they went in and cut cancer out of her. The last time the doctor didn't even bother asking if she wanted it out. He knew she did. She finally lost the battle. And so we buried her back home. Now, I'll use the term in the fatherland where I was born and raised. But there was a young minister there at a little country church. He could not believe all of the Overmellers and then I will say all the Lamberts. My granddad had three aunts that married three brothers, three Lamberts. Yeah. Go figure. He was blown away. We were in the basement. It might be this big. And we were just moving around. There wasn't one group sitting over there and another group sitting over here and the two will never pass. It didn't see any of that. In fact, what he saw was everybody going around to everybody saying, I love you, and gave him a hug. Hey, I haven't seen you in a while. I love you. Gave you a hug. Oh, man, it's been a couple years, brother. Man, I miss you, brother. Give you a hug. He was blown away by a family that truly loved each other. Now, I want you to take that ideology into the house of God. Are you blown away? If a brother's hurting, are you hurting? If a brother rejoices, are you rejoicing? I miss you when you're not here, sister. And I know why Creed ain't here. And I know most of the time when you're not here. But I miss it when you're not here. We love you guys. Mike, miss you. We love you. Okay? When you're not here, a part of me is missing. You see, that's what should happen in the house of God. That's what Jesus is saying. Who is my mother? Who is my brother? Who is my sister? Woo. One commentator used a little woke term in there. I ain't going to go down there, but it was talking about Jesus being inclusive. Inclusive, why? Because he added females. I want you to know, ladies, we include you because we love you too. Jesus loves you. Why? Because you're our sisters. Because you do the will of our Father. Let us stand. You see, we are the family of God. The church is the bride of Christ. This church has its function as a bride. We have our place. And we do our job. And our job is to love God, love people, make disciples. That's our job. That's our message. We're doing the will of our Father when we do this. So each of you are my brothers, my sisters. I love you. And I'm going to tell you, not because I have to, because I choose to, because of the love that Jesus put in my heart. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the love of Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We just pray that it will not return void, Lord God, but it will touch the hearts and the lives of your people. We pray, Lord God, that they will go home and meditate on these scriptures, think on them, and hide these scriptures into their heart for this week. And that they will listen to you, Holy Spirit, as you teach each and every one of us how to apply your word in our lives so we can be doers of it. And Lord, we have a wonderful time here where we get to baptize, or people are going to be baptized as you have spoken to us to do. And we just pray that you will anoint it and bless each and every one of us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.